2018, if you were here for the ride, was amazing. God did a lot of stuff. We worked on our elder structure, and we redid our church covenant, which passed unanimously, which is a miracle. I mean, I tell all my friends about that. I text everyone after that meeting and said, "Yeah, you're not gonna believe what happened." We made some aesthetic changes in this room and out there. The Lord really worked powerfully. It really gave us, I think, some much-needed stability in 2018, kind of helped us come to a point of just kind of equilibrium and kind of catching our breath after some of the things that have happened over the last 3 or 4 years. And I tell you what, I really feel like I'm sitting like at the top of a rocket ship and it's about to like blast off. And 2019 is that blast off. And I'm so excited to share with you what God has laid on our hearts as an elder body this year when it comes to what are we going to be doing over the next 12 months. And as we've thought through that question and prayed about it and had honest conversations, we as elders feel like we have some very clear direction about where we need to go this year. And that direction comes from 3 primary texts. I want to just quickly read those, and we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about what the implications of those verses are for New Century Church over the next 50 weeks. Okay? So look with me here at 2 Corinthians 5. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us," it's not pastors now, that's Christians, "entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors," that's you and I, "ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal, not through signs in the sky or anything like that, but through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So, this is what you and I are. We are ambassadors. We represent a king. We speak with his character and we speak his message, the gospel message. And this is something, if you read carefully, that we've been entrusted with. Like God has entrusted this. Here, take this. And we have been entrusted to preach that gospel to the ends of the earth. Okay? Jesus gives us another picture of this in Matthew 28. Read it with me. "And Jesus came and said to them," that is his disciples, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Making disciples of all nations, and he gives us a little commentary on what he means by that in Acts 1:8. This is the last verse we'll look at. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Do you see that order there? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of earth. So it doesn't jump straight to the ends of the earth. There's this Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria element. Hudson Taylor said that the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. And as we've talked together and we've prayed as elders, we are unanimous in our assessment that in the last 4 or 5 years, for a variety of reasons, that our light here in the valley has not shined nearly as bright as God would have it. And it's become clear that what our church needs more than anything is to cultivate a culture of disciple making. The culture of disciple making, where every individual in the church, regardless of personality or profession, personally feels and owns the responsibility of building relationships with unbelievers in order to share the gospel with them and see them come to faith. We want to change the culture such that every person, not just the extroverts or people with a lot of time, but every person feels the personal responsibility to actually be an ambassador and to strategically build relationships with unbelievers in order that we can share the gospel with them. To say it differently, it's our goal and it's Christ's goal in the scriptures that every disciple of Christ is also a disciple maker. Every disciple is a disciple maker. This is the mission of the church. This is not a peripheral thing that we get to. This is the church's primary assignment. And yet, if this is the case, when you survey modern church culture, you may ask the question, I think fairly, why does it seem like so little disciple-making is actually happening? I mean, if this is what we're, like, the main thing, this isn't like one play in the playbook. I mean, this is the game, right? Why is disciple-making not really happening? I love Francis Chan said it this way. Why is it that we see so little disciple-making taking place in the church today? Do we really believe that Jesus told his early followers to make disciples, but wants the 21st century church to do something different? None of us would claim to believe this, but somehow we have created a church culture where the paid ministers do the ministry, and the rest of us show up, put some money in the plate, and leave feeling inspired or fed. We have moved so far away from Jesus' command that many Christians don't have a frame of reference for what disciple-making looks like. If you survey the broader church culture, it's hard to argue with that. You ask people, what makes a good church? You'll hear something about children's programs, excellent music, motivational speaking. But few people will answer a church that equips me to go out and make disciples. A church that is passionate about making disciples and making disciple-making disciples. Bringing their people to a point where they're self-replicating. Few people would say that. The reality is it's possible to have all those things, all the excellent children's programs and professional quality music, and miss the mission of the church. Satan loves churches with great speaking, great programs, great music, and an empty baptistry. As long as you keep that thing empty, have as much fun as you want. Satan is content with churches filled with people who personally enjoy the gospel, but do very little to advance the gospel. Those churches are not a threat to his kingdom. And I want to make sure that that could never be said about this church. When it comes to Satan's work in the Roanoke Valley, I want this church to be dangerous. I want this church to be dangerous. I want Satan to hate this church. And I want him to hate you because you pose a threat. I want you to be threatening, understood properly. And as such, I want to declare 2019 the year of disciple making at New Century Church. For the next 50 weeks. We only have 50 weeks left. We are going to walk through what it looks like to make disciples and ask that the Holy Spirit would begin to change our church culture so that every individual, regardless of profession or personality, feels and owns the responsibility of being an ambassador for Christ. We've gotten together as elders and we've talked about what this is going to look like, and that's what I'm going to spend the majority of my time today telling you about is what are the next 50 weeks in New Century going to look like. I'm going to give you just a fly through. And in the first service, I went really fast and I barely made it through. So I want to prepare you. This will be online for you to watch later. I'm going to go fast. So if you're trying to take all the notes, you may get frustrated. I want to warn you in advance. We're going to move fast today because there's so much I want to share with you about what disciple making is going to look like in 2019. So before I do that, just a word on disciple making. Let me direct your attention to the screen here. When we talk about disciple making, we're talking about kind of two broad pictures here. And one is winning people for Christ. Both of these pictures are super important. Winning people for Christ. And what we're doing here is evangelism, sharing the gospel, building relationships with unbelievers, apologetics, which is pre-evangelism. And our goal is conversion. Our goal is to bring people to faith in Christ. When Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," he's talking about evangelism. You're going to go catch men. But in this analogy, the spiritual analogy, once you catch a fish, you don't just put it in the bucket, okay? Once we see people come to faith, we are called as a church to help them grow in their faith and progress in their faith, and develop and become mature and own the gospel in their heart so it seeps into every element of their life. So the first step of disciple making is winning people for Christ. Everything after that is growing people in Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to grow people up in Christ. This is discipleship, walking with people as they move to the right, if you will, towards Jesus, moving them towards the right. And the goal here is just sanctification. What does that mean? It means the process of becoming holy. And it's really important in our effort for disciple making that we don't emphasize one to the exclusion of the other. There are churches who emphasize, for example, winning people for Christ to the exclusion of growing people in Christ. And their churches are filled with people who know nothing more than Jesus died for their sin and is coming back one day. Okay? And you come to faith. Well, now what do I do? You tell other people. Well, now what do I do? You tell other people. And that's all there is. Okay? And so they're not developing their people's faith. There are other churches who go to the opposite end of the spectrum, and all they care about is this is like church for just mature believers. And all it is just growing the found instead of finding the lost. And so we've got to make sure we're balanced here. If you're here this today and you're not a believer, I want to be just totally transparent with you. We love you. We want to see you come to Christ. We want to see you convert and follow Christ. And if you are already a believer here, we want to push you not to be stagnant in your Christian life, not to be content with where you're at, but to have a holy discontent and to push forward and want to grow and make steps towards Christ. So, with that little caveat, I want to spend the next 35 minutes telling you what that's going to look like at New Century in 2019. Okay, you ready? Next week, we are starting a series called Network Evangelism. So it's not enough to just say make disciples. We got to spend some time teaching. I want to show you how it is that we're going to engage the lost around us. And we're going to be identifying different people in our networks, our recreational networks, our professional networks, and we're going to talk about how we can strategically reach them with the gospel, okay? So we certainly want to depend on the Holy Spirit, and we certainly want to recognize God's sovereignty in this process, both things that we'll talk about. But at the same time, we want to have a plan in place. We don't just want to say, all right, guys, get out there. I mean, that's not going to work. We need to talk about how has God designed people to come to Christ and how can we facilitate that? So we're going to be doing a series on that. Next, as far as outreach in our community. Remember, I told you I'm going fast, okay? Going fast. So stay with me. Next, outreach in our community. I want you to hear it from one of our elders, Randy Farthing.
What am I excited about in children's ministry at New Century Church this year? Well, there are a lot of things that are going on this year, but the one thing that I've been really excited about is we're seeing a growth in our children's program for the first time in several years. In the last year, we've probably seen a 25 to 30% increase in the number of children participating in children's ministry here at New Century Church. So that's really something that's exciting for me. It's just an opportunity to minister to these kids and to bless them. One of the things I would want to talk to you about that we're going to be doing here soon is an Easter egg hunt. Now, we've done Easter egg hunts here for years. We're going to go back to an old model that we used to use. We're going to have Easter egg hunt this year at Longwood Park in Salem. We'll have hundreds of Easter eggs for the kids to find. We'll have hot dogs for everyone to eat. There'll be a covered dish meal for everybody to share in. And it's a time to sit together and fellowship as a church family. But it's also an opportunity for us to reach our neighbors and our friends and our relatives, kids that we know in our neighborhoods that we can bring in here and they can have an opportunity to meet the people of New Century Church. If find out how we love each other, how we take care of each other, and how we take care of our kids. Lord, it's just a real opportunity for us to have a chance for fellowship, for growth, and an opportunity to minister to those people who are around us. Take an opportunity this year to serve in some aspect of children's ministry. We have all sorts of ways that you can do it, but the first one is to bring your friends and your family to the Easter egg hunt at New Century Church.
How do you know there's a God? How do you know there's only one God? Maybe there's more than one. A whole pantheon of gods. And even if there is one, how do you know that that God is the Christian God? If the Christian God exists, a God who is all-powerful and all-loving, then why is there so much evil in the world? Why do so many evil things, wicked things happen in this world? To people who, in many cases, seem good, even Christ followers, who suffer. How is a God like that worthy of our worship? How do you know the Bible is really God's Word? I mean, there are tons of different holy books out there. I mean, can you really say that the Bible is the right one and the other ones aren't? How do we determine what books are in the Bible? I mean, who was it? Did everyone just get together and vote? Did God tell everyone what books to put in the Bible? What about the Catholic Bible? They have 73 books. Your Bible has 66 books. How do we know all this? Did you know there's over 400 variants in the manuscript edition of the Bible? A variant is just a difference in the copying. So one guy copies and makes a mistake. And the guy copies his copy and makes a mistake, and they copy copies, and everyone makes mistakes, and there's mistakes and mistakes and mistakes. How do we even know that the documents we have now in 2019 are even what the apostles wrote back then? And even if we know what we have now is what they have then, how do we know it's true? How do we know Jesus rose from the dead? Are there good arguments for that, or do we just have to accept these things by pure faith? I don't want for one minute to suggest that faith is not involved in all of these things, but at the same time, we need to be able to give intelligent, loving responses to these questions. And that's why this year we're doing an apologetics seminar. And the Bible tells us to be ready to give a defense, give a reason for the hope we have within. And so as we think about disciple making and discipleship in 2019, we want to equip you to not only understand the answers to these questions for yourself, but also equip you to engage lovingly and intelligently with your neighbors when it comes to some of these difficult issues. Because the reality is that some of these questions are tough, and we need to wrestle with those questions. We can't afford to just sweep those under the rug. These are the questions that so many people are asking, and they deserve a thoughtful response. So that's what we're going to do on Friday and Saturday, March 1st and 2nd, is we're going to dive into some of these questions and help to better equip you in your conversations with your unbelieving friends, and to help shore up any doubts you may have for yourself. So I hope you'll join us, because I trust that God will use this powerfully in our lives as we seek to make disciples for His glory. I made an error in that video, and I'm glad I did, so I can talk about it now. There are 400,000 different variants in the manuscript tradition. That is, someone made a mistake copying, and then someone copied their mistakes and made their own. There are more mistakes than there are words in the New Testament. So how do we know what we have now is even what they wrote then, after 2,000 years of translation? These are questions the people are asking. We have to be equipped to answer them, and there are good answers. And so we're having an apologetics seminar March 1st and 2nd. A Friday night and a Saturday morning. We're going to do this annually to equip us to kind of engage with our culture. Another thing we're going to be doing this year is a dance ministry. Rebecca, my wife, is going to be doing a dance ministry that she's done for 10 years. This is a picture of her doing it I don't know, 10 years ago? I don't know, 5 years ago. But she did it for a long time. It's called Rhythm Now. And this is intentionally designed to target girls and teach them how to dance, okay, in a way that's modest and things like this, and also to provide an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Each week, Rebecca comes up with a devotion based on the lyrics that they're learning that week. So if they're learning verse 2, to dance to verse 2, you know what I'm saying? Like, put your right hand up, and whatever. So she goes through the verses and says, okay, this is going to be a devotional for today, and she does that. And so this is a really good opportunity for us and something Rebecca has experience with, and we're excited about that. We'll also be continuing our Halloween outreach. Basically, if you weren't there for it last year, we basically had just a sick setup and got a lot of people to come, and we gave away a bag with king-size candy, so everyone wanted to come. We had, like, king-size Butterfingers, king-size Skittles, none of that, like, you know, wimpy little, like, Hershey's Kisses. We did it big, and we got a lot of people to come. We ran out of all of our stuff, so we're doing it again. That was really awesome. Also, we're going to be rekindling our partnership with Westside Elementary School. This is a very low-performing school with a high poverty level right next to us. And we want to love our city and be outward focused. And we really want to help Westside, not just in general, but specifically help in a way that's going to contribute to poverty reduction. You ask, well, what is helping at an elementary school have to do with poverty reduction? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Brookings Institute in Washington, D.C., they're kind of a left-leaning institute, honestly, and so there's no way anyone could accuse this of being a conservative statistic. But they say this: let politicians, school teachers, and administrators, community leaders, ministers, and parents drill into children the message that in a free society, they enter adulthood with three major responsibilities: finish high school, get a full-time job, and wait until age 21 to get married and have children. Read this with me. Our research shows that of American adults who follow these three simple rules, only about 2% are in poverty, and nearly 75% have joined the middle class, defined as earning around $55,000 or more per year. Finish high school, full-time job, wait until you're 21 to get married, almost guaranteed to be in the middle class. Now, let me tell you one of the reasons this is so important. Roanoke City ranks in the 98th percentile in the United States for upward mobility out of poverty. What that means is if you're a child born in poverty in Roanoke City, statistically, you would be better off getting out of that poverty just about anywhere else in the country. We're in the 98th percentile. We're also in the 98th percentile for single-parent mothers, just so you know. We're working on that. But right now we're focusing on helping these kids graduate high school, and we're starting early helping them in elementary school. If we can help a child, we can contribute to them graduating high school, we are significantly reducing the chances that they're going to be stuck in poverty. Okay? So this is a poverty reduction initiative to help love people and advance the gospel and really love our city. Well, when we talk about making disciples, we're not just talking about local disciple making. We also need to think globally, and we're going to continue our partnership this year with the International Mission Board. Jack Orsinger is going to be kind of spearheading our missions efforts, and we're really targeting Panama. We're going to be targeting Panama this year. We're going to be working with the IMB when it comes to sending trips and training and gathering information on Panama. And so you can be in prayer about that. We'll be updating you on dates, on trips, and kind of giving you more information along the way. But I just want you to know that our foot is on the gas, both locally and globally. So that's kind of a summary of that left side of the disciple-making slide, the reaching the lost. What are we going to do? And it's going to start with this series next week that we're going to begin, and then it's going to express itself in a variety of these ministries. But we're also going to focus on discipleship. That means growing believers. It's not an either or. So if you ask, well, gosh, what are we going to do this year to grow believers? I'm a believer already. I want to grow in my faith. I want to become more like Christ. I don't just want to go through the years, kind of routine. I mean, I really want to develop. Let me direct you to the screen. We'll hear a little bit from Aaron Smith, one of our elders.
When I look ahead to discipleship in 2019, I'm really excited about our small groups. Small groups have always been a way traditionally that people have grown at New Century. And this upcoming year, I think it's going to be an excellent opportunity because we started with a couple changes last year that are really building momentum now. One of those is the lecture lab model. So on Sunday, you get great preaching, but that preaching is coming from the stage down to all of us in the audience. Small groups are really the place where you can come together and talk through that. Each of the small group leaders has some questions that the pastor that preached that Sunday gives them just to lead the discussion. It's our chance to ask questions to each other, to process that information, and really to go deeper into the material. The other thing that we changed was everybody has a role in small groups now. And those roles are small and simple. It's the people who host at their house, the people that are facilitating using those pastor questions. Other people are just taking notes during the prayer request to send them out an email so everybody knows what to pray about during the week. Some of the special events we started doing in the small groups, it was fun to hear leaders and people report back about their Bring a Friend nights. And these were casual nights that you didn't do any discussion. You just went somewhere as friends and you could invite people who maybe are completely unchurched into a non-threatening environment that you're just building relationships that hopefully will grow into something deeper. But the goal for that night is just to spend time together and get to know each other. Also coordinating service in the community and reaching out to our missionaries so we know how we can pray and support them. Sometimes just being the person who texts and reminds everybody else of what's going on is a great help. So if you're not involved in a small group, please go out to the information desk. There's a card that lists all the small groups in the area. It's really critical to be able to grow at New Century, to meet those other Christians and be involved in a group. And as we're starting a new season, now is the perfect time for that.
At New Century, we believe that discipleship happens best in relationship. As I was reading this week, I saw a quote that said, we don't grow in rows, but in circles. And so we're supposed to not just come here every Sunday and face forward, but actually do life with one another as Christians. And this, we can't just circumvent the community aspect. That's how God has designed for us to grow. So small groups, extremely important. If you're not in one, I encourage you to get in a small group. We have cards out on the welcome desk as you go out these double doors to my right. And your right, too, if you're going out that way. There will be cards that just have all the small groups listed at New Century. It has a map on the back. Those start today. So 16-week season starts today. We do a definitive season here because it gives people a natural on-ramp and an off-ramp. Say 16 weeks, okay, and then you can maybe try another small group, all right? Now, the truth is many of our small groups meet year-round anyways, and that's awesome, but we formally have a 16-week season here that you can say, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. Maybe you've never been in a small group. You can do anything for 16 weeks. So I invite you to try that. If you're not in a small group, get plugged in. It's really important. Also, another thing we're going to be starting this year is discipleship classes. I've heard from some folks that they wish they had the opportunity to interact with me in a little bit of informal way because I just kind of talk on Sundays. It's not a conversation. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. And at the same time, we also recognize that we have a need for new believer and discipleship classes. And so I'm going to be teaching on Wednesday nights, for now, on Wednesday nights, discipleship classes. And this would be designed for the seasoned believer as well as the new believer. I said a couple months ago that if God were to give us 50 new believers today, we wouldn't be ready to disciple them. But because of some of these initiatives we've put in place, I believe we are ready for that. I believe we are ready for that harvest because we now have a track that we can put them on through small groups and discipleship classes that will help them grow and get that good doctrine and that foundation. So the class will be centered around what's called systematic theology, and I'm super excited about diving into that. More details to come on that. Next, in October, we're doing a parenting seminar. Paul Tripp, probably one of the best voices when it comes to parenting and keeping the gospel central in parenting. It doesn't matter what age your kids are, even if your kids are out of the house, you're a grandparent. This is crucial in helping us understand how the gospel shapes parenting. We live in a culture that cares most about whether kids are good citizens with morals and make good grades and are successful. And so sometimes our parenting tends towards behavior modification, but it can lose the gospel. We got to remember that we're shaping worshipers We're shaping worshipers. Paul Tripp's going to remind us of that October 18th and 19th. Am I going fast enough for you? Because I'm sweating. Okay. Weeks of prayer. This year, we are doing 2 weeks of prayer. Okay? The people who came the first time, we kind of did it, kind of our beta test this year, loved it. Okay? In the fall, a lot of people said, this is one of the best prayer times I've ever had. For many of them, it was the only time they prayed for an hour straight in their whole life, much less for 6 days in a row. Okay, so we gathered, we sang some hymns, just a cappella, and we came, and the whole room was set up and lit up with different prayer stations. This is going to be so crucial, I believe, in the life of our church this year. In fact, in the middle of that, we're going to be doing a prayer series. We're going to be spending 8 weeks talking about prayer, preaching through prayer. And I'm so confident this is where God is leading us. This is one of the coolest things in our elders' retreat. While we were putting stuff on the calendar for this year, we put prayer just in a certain time slot. And then someone asked the question, hey, are we doing secret church this year? Maybe we should do secret church with David Platt. And we're like, okay, well, let's check that out. And sure enough, we checked it out. And secret church was on prayer. And it fell exactly within our prayer sermon series that we had set up. So God wants us to focus on prayer, and we will be doing secret church with David Platt. We'll be live streaming that in, and that's like a six-hour event where you just kind of a deep, deep, deep dive into prayer and how to pray and what is prayer. So if you've been praying for your whole life or you're just starting, like, well, I don't even know how to pray. I just kind of pray for my meals. I mean, is there anything else to it? I pray for my meals and when I need something. Okay? This is really going to help us grow in the depth of our prayer life. All right, well, just one more big thing I want us to think about by way of discipleship, and that is discipleship as it relates to youth. I'm going to let Thomas tell you a little bit about that.
New Century Church, as we think about disciple making in 2019, I am super excited about what God is doing in and through the youth group. But one of the biggest needs that we have for the youth group is a place for them to meet. The current place that we are meeting right now is just much too small. And here we are standing now in what will be the new youth facility. This is going to be a great place for students to come and gather, for students to come and worship together, for students to come and study the scriptures as they grow deeper in their relationship with the Lord and get them excited about bringing their friends as they are not just being disciples themselves, but they are turning into disciple makers. We need this building to be complete. This is a huge task for us. We have many things that need to be done. I have already met with contractors. I have met with people to do the heating and air conditioning. I have met with electricians and plumbers. We are ready to move forward, but it's going to require all of us coming together, praying over this building, and seeing how we can help financially to get this building where it needs to be to move into it. Our goal would be to have the students move in by the end of this year. What an amazing task that would be. Please consider praying about how you can be involved in helping get this building open for the youth.
We also have a slide. I just want you to see this of some of the plans that we have. Oh, there it is. Yes, those are the plans. They're recently updated. Those are the most recent versions we've just received back from the architect, and we are ready to move forward on this youth building. Super excited about that. This thing's going to be sick, okay? So I can't wait to start that. We're going to be doing a capital campaign because, unfortunately, buildings aren't free, okay? But we believe that discipling and making disciples of our youth is worth it. And so we're actually going to be kick-starting that capital campaign on the day after Valentine's Day at our Valentine's banquet, okay? Youth are going to serve that. We're going to have some entertainment, and it's going to serve as kind of a kickstart for our capital campaign as we raise some money to complete this youth building. So February 15th, make sure you're there. It's going to be really, really awesome. I want to just share two quick, these are very minor details with you before we watch one final video and we'll close. We're going to be overhauling our website this year, particularly with a focus on making it mobile friendly. Because 99% of people check the website on their smartphones, not their laptops or their computers, okay? We are dreaming about having a church app as well, especially for all you millennials and younger, okay, who would much rather use an app, okay? Me, I'd rather use an app too. So So we're working on that. Website first, app second. And then also, if especially in the guys' bathrooms, if you go in there, it's like a haunted house. And like, it's dark. So we've already priced some lights. We've got the a quote on installing in those. We're going to have actually a bathroom where you can like see all the way down come a couple weeks from now. So we're excited about that. And I want to leave you with just a few thoughts from our elders as we kind of had a panel and talked about what's 2019 going to bring for us and what are you excited about. So let's watch that and then I'll close this.
I'm really looking forward to the seminars, both of them. I just think that's an opportunity for people to really, ask questions, have dialogue, which of course we don't have the opportunity for on Sunday morning in our formal service. And I think interjecting those two things in this year is going to make a lot of difference. I think people will be really excited about this.
I think you're right, especially. We're going to do apologetics seminar. And I think, we have folks who really do want to know answers to some really tough questions that they're getting asked by our culture, by their friends. If you were born in ancient Greece, you'd believe in the Greek pantheon. If you were born in India, you'd probably be Hindu. If you were born in Iraq, you may be Muslim. The only reason you're a Christian is because you were born in the South and in the modern West. And so how do we respond to that? That's very common. And what do we say to that? So I think we have folks that are really interested in kind of diving into that kind of material, and not only to shore up their own faith, but to be able to intelligently and lovingly articulate that to others. So I'm excited about that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think definitely. I'm excited about the parenting seminar. From a selfish standpoint of having two kids, but all the other parents I know around here, you're always looking for great godly guidance from each other, but it's great to have a structured program to also go through. I went through Growing Kids God's Way years ago with other New Century members, and I'm really interested to dive into this material too and kind of pull out those things that you know are going to work really well with your kids, and they may be a little bit different than somebody who has younger kids or older kids, but it's always nice to be surrounded by people that are wanting to grow their kids in a godly household and how we as parents best do that, accomplish it.
I'm really excited about the youth building coming up. We've been in a common struggle as a congregation for years that, has brought with it a lot of anguish and tears to a lot of folks. And this is an exciting thing that we can bond together in bringing and culminating for the youth who I feel like, they've kind of taken a back seat for a little while.
This will help them to feel like they're not forgotten.
That's
and
right.
Really putting them on the front burner. And the old youth room we had was super cool. It was dirty and nasty, but it was super cool, and they loved it.
That's why I never went over there.
But the fact that it was kind of their place, and this new one it's going to be so much even greater than that old one was, and it'll keep everybody here on the same facility instead of having to go across the street and things like that. And I can't be more excited about it. It's gonna be fantastic. And some of these students, they were here when we went through all that, and they feel like that was kind of taken away from them. And now for us to be being able to hand that back to them, that's gonna be super exciting for them.
I think I'm, really excited just about the focus on disciple making, and the idea that every believer should be self-replicating, and I get so pumped up when I think about there might be folks in our congregation up here baptizing someone that they've like brought to the Lord. I just think that is just incredible. And what do you think as we talk about moving into this new year? What do you think it's going to take for us personally and for us corporately, if we want to actualize this vision of making disciples, that every disciple should also be a disciple maker, and if we want to be used as a church by God to make impact for the kingdom in the valley, What do you think, some attitudes we're going to have, perhaps practices, things we need to keep in mind if that's going to become reality in this century?
I think having this as the year of the disciple and discipleship, it has to become a culture. And that's a culture from not just top down, but it's within the small groups, it's within everything that we do, that we understand the purpose of being better disciples for Christ and leading other people to Christ is integral to part of that. That when it really permeates the culture, it starts to become the identity of the church. Mm-hmm. I think for a long time, one thing that's been an excellent part of our identity has been international missions, mm-hmm. and having that heartbeat, and people who would come and visit could just feel it. They could look around and see the flags, but you could hear people that had gone on mission trips. And that was a fantastic identity for us. And I think we just need to grow on that to realize that in every day with ourselves and with the people we interact with, whether it's a church-driven purpose thing like a mission trip or a small group, you know, bring a friend sort of night, but also learning how to do that in our everyday interactions with the people around us, our coworkers, the grocery store clerk, that when that really takes on our identity, we'll see it and be encouraging each other.
I think even in short, you could say just making sure that we're as intentional locally about making disciples as we have been globally.
I've been on 6 or 7 mission trips, Aaron, you and I can remember
first
a house
Costa Rica
we stood at in Costa Rica and shared the Lord with a lady. And everyone I've ever been on, I come back and I always think, why am I not the way at home that I was there? You know, depending and... Yeah. And so it's a buy-in, it's a realization of that, and it's a buy-in to everything that we're dreaming about.
Yeah. It's going to take the congregation really understanding. It's not just the select few that go out and do this.
Right.
I mean, as intentional as we were about missions, we still missed a large group of people from our congregation who never got to experience a mission trip. They never went on it. They thought, this is the culture of this church, yes, because we have a handful of people that like to go on mission trips. It's going to take everybody understanding, no, this is something I can do. This is something that, hey, I can share Christ with the clerk. I can ask the waiter or waitress if I can pray for him, something like that. And being intentional about following up on those things, because this is not just something for the select few. This is something that we're all supposed to dive into. Like you said, it needs to become the culture of who we are for everyone.
And it's not going to be something that is going to be comfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I think people need to realize that. And, you know, the first few times that you do it, you may make mistakes, but you learn from those mistakes and you grow and you learn how to share better and more often. And the more you do it and the more you put it into practice, the better you become at it.
The more natural it becomes. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's going to come a lot from the seminars and the things that we talked about. It's deepening our own relationship with Christ, our better understanding of Scripture. When we're following Christ closer, I've found with myself, it becomes easier to bring other people along with that.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes, looking back, I didn't share because I wasn't as comfortable yet in my own relationship with Christ. But as I focused on that, all of a sudden, the side thing of evangelism became easier, became more natural, because I wanted to share those things that I was learning with the Lord as well.
I think perhaps what we've done just in the church, I mean just in America, is we've talked about the importance of evangelism, but so many times we haven't really trained people. We'll just tell people about Jesus, and that's it. But we haven't really given them really some practical tools, I think, that they need. They have no confidence. And, you know, even if you just tell them, well, just trust the Holy Spirit and get out there. I mean, there's certainly the Holy Spirit is crucial in any evangelistic effort. But at the same time, like, you know, God's given us things like apologetics and like, you know, a gospel presentation that you've thought about in advance, mm-hmm. and maybe even anticipated objections, things that we can actually give to people to help them stay ready to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. And you don't want people just leaving feeling, you know, guilty and bad about not sharing without, you know, you want to give them, you don't just tell them to get out there. You want to actually give them the tools to do it. So I think that this year is really going to be 12 months of discipleship and disciple making. I think I'm excited about preaching through the sermon series that we've agreed on as elders that we're going to do, and I look forward forward to what God has for us in 2019.
Well, one of the things you were talking about that I'm really looking forward to is encouraging people to open up their homes and invite people in, and to really, it's not just... Yeah, it's the hospitality, it's the forming of the relationships. It's not just going out and like street evangelism or something like that. I mean, I think it can have its place at its time, but I'm more comfortable with, hey, let's build a relationship. Let's show these people we care about them. And encouraging people to invite people into your homes and share a meal with them and really develop those relationships. I'm excited that we're going to be kind of encouraging people to do that. Yeah.
Well, I want us to just take kind of a moment to just reflect on kind of what we've heard over the last 40 minutes. And you can go ahead and take the lights back down. I kind of want this to be just kind of a very contemplative, reflective time. It's one thing to talk about what we're going to do in 2019, but it's another thing to actually get to work doing it. And as I've thought about 2019, like, I have just felt so keenly, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. We are silly to think that we can just throw together a few ideas and a few sermon series and kind of put together a formula for growth. We are desperate at every level for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does not need this church to accomplish the Great Commission. God is pleased to use any church that He chooses to make disciples. J.D. Greer, one pastor in North Carolina, was one of my favorite pastors, was praying, God, please bring revival to the Triangle. Bring revival to the Triangle, his area. And he said that God kind of spoke to him, not audibly or anything, but said, okay, what if I bring revival? What if I bring repentance? What if I bring people bowing the knee to Christ? And I just used someone else's church. And so we started to pray, okay, God, will you use our church? Will you use our church? And that's my prayer, is that God, we know you don't need us. We're foolish to think that we're somehow indispensable. But God, we want the privilege of advancing the gospel. Not just maintaining the gospel, but advancing the gospel. We want to be used powerfully to make shockwaves in the kingdom of God across the Roanoke Valley and to the ends of the earth. And it's going to take commitment to Christ personally, prayer and Bible reading. It's going to take generosity and giving. It's going to take repenting of areas where we haven't been focused on making disciples. And then at the end of the day, what I think it's going to take is reordering some of our lifestyles even, to recenter them around making disciples. So I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to pray for us in just a moment, but I want you to spend time with the Lord and think about 2019, what it could be, what it can be if you'll follow the Holy Spirit's leading. So I want to invite you to just pray by yourself, and in just a few moments, I'll close this. But spend time with the Lord, asking Him to prepare you, to change you from the inside out, to help you be a disciple maker and live for Christ's glory in this coming year. God, we come to you as a church who, when it comes to the kingdom of darkness, wants to be dangerous. We want to be dangerous. We want Satan to hate us and hate this church because we are ruining his work. Not just to huddle together and enjoy the gospel, but to relentlessly advance the gospel in a spirit of love and kindness. The same love and kindness we've been shown. And God, I pray that it would be said that it was this Sunday that served as a springboard for a new movement and a shift of culture in this church as every person adopts the motto, I'm a disciple maker. I've been blessed to be a blessing. I've been found so that I can find people. God, even as I say that, I know that sounds really intimidating for some people in this room. It sounds so outside of what they envisioned their 2019 being, and yet I pray that you would fill them with a vision of the glory of Christ that is so much bigger than their plans that they had. That you would use their lives, use our lives in 2019 to focus on winning people for your glory, showing people the Christ that we treasure and love so much. And so, Holy Spirit, would you energize and empower New Century Church to be a light to the world, to be a church whose lampstand does not grow dim but shines bright as we seek to know you and make you known. All for the glory of your Son, Jesus, we pray.